From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome on this rainy afternoon, at least in the area in which I sit right now, out here in the Waukesha area, and just west of Milwaukee, and kind of a drizzle outside. It is sitting right now at 56 degrees, and it's only going to get worse. It looks like the weekend's going to kind of suck, too. I guess it's going to be in the 40s and low 50s, and we're going to have more of the same. So if you're looking out the window right now and you're seeing what I'm seeing, then you're probably going to get used to it over the next 3, 4, 5 days before we finally get out of this. That being said, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, you're going to hear from Dan Dockage from ESPN, college basketball analyst. He's going to be stopping by. Christian Yelich feels that there is a chance that they're going to play baseball. We'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit. But the Green Bay Packers, we were sitting here talking about some of the deals that just didn't work out that gave the Packers and their fans a lot of hope, and things just didn't happen. So you start to look back over the last 5 years at some of the things, some of the moves. It's not like the Packers have been bereft of moves. They've made moves. Some of them just haven't panned out. And my top five in reverse order are Jimmy Graham. A pro's pro, a guy that wanted to come in and show the younger guys how to do it. Aaron Rodgers enjoyed his company, but it just never materialized into the touchdowns and into the red zone guy that, you know, we thought he was going to end up being. So that was number five. Number four, they moved up to get Jason Spriggs. And he was supposed to be the heir apparent to the right tackle position for Brian Bulaga. Never happened. Not even close. Then there's number three, the guy that's supposed to be opposite Devontae Adams, Jamon Moore. The fourth round draft choice. Had a lot of talent, a lot of good analytics, but that also never materialized. Then you've got number two, Martellus Bennett. He came in and he was a train wreck. He just was. He didn't play much, blamed the organization for his health issues, went after Doc McKenzie, just made a mockery of a lot of things, and then left, and just left anybody and everybody in his wake. And then the number one regret is not a particular player move, but the game itself. That is against the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game, in which they were the better team. They were better coached. They were more prepared. They outplayed the Seahawks, and it was just a myriad of single plays that just they let it slip away. They just let it slip away. And that third quarter, the tide changed. The Packers' play calling took the foot off the gas. Clay Matthews pulling himself out of the game. Micah Hyde not being in the right place at the right time. Didn't know where he was supposed to be on the two-point conversion. You know, Morgan Burnett going down because Julius Peppers told him to. Bostic screamed at, not, don't leave the ball alone, leave the ball alone. And still went up and got it, hits off his helmet. Seahawks get it, and the rest is pretty much history. So. Those are my top five. What are yours? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it. You can also hit me up on Twitter @Bill_Michaels. Find us there. You can find us over on the Facebook fan page as well, facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. You can find me on the radio.com app. You can find the website, BillMichaelsSports.com. Plenty of ways to find us. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at Bud Light. They are the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So give me your thoughts when it comes to the Green Bay Packers on hold listening to us in Minneapolis. Our buddy Bob is there. Bob, how you doing today? What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Just looking at the bear, doing a little bit of shopping. But my three biggest things is 5 years of hearing on how Mike McCarthy will take us to the Super Bowl. 5 years of hearing, well, Don Capers will fix the defense. 5 years of hearing that draft and develop will work. none of those things that you talked about would have happened if after the Seattle game they would have realized that was all coaching and fired Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy right there and then put Ted Thompson on a 2-year lease. That's my regret in the last 5 years. I'll hang up.
All right. Okay, appreciate it. I went back over that NFC Championship game, and, you know, because he obviously believes it was Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers. I think it was probably more the talent than it was the coaching. I know there's some of you that completely believe different. The only thing I can blame Mike McCarthy for in that game was there was a series or two, when he kind of just ran the ball, took his foot off the gas, and the momentum did shift a bit. Because it was wasted series for the Packers, who had basically been moving the football up and down the field. They took their foot off the gas a little too early, okay? But, look, it wasn't Mike McCarthy that told Julius Peppers to tell Morgan Burnett to go down. It wasn't Mike McCarthy that pulled, you know, Clay Matthews off the field in a critical situation on a goal line stand. It wasn't Mike McCarthy that was along with the entire coaching staff telling the guys up front on that line, leave the ball alone, let the hands guys get it. I mean, you got to give the players the credit for blowing it. You know, I mean, it was perfect coverage that Tremont Williams had, and Russell Wilson just laid it in there for that final touchdown, for that score that put the Seahawks over the top. I mean, the defense was good. The guys just choked it away. It just got away from them. I don't know how else to put it. You know, so in that particular sense, if you change the personnel, let's just say that Mike McCarthy back then gets the Smith brothers and back then does make a change. Say he does get Dom Capers, you know, out and somebody else in and different personnel, so to speak. The message for Mike McCarthy might have grown stale over the last couple of years. But that game was probably one, and I know this is ludicrous because they didn't win the game, but that was one of the best coached games. That team was prepared. That team was ready to go. They outplayed Seattle. It was their own mistakes. Micah Hyde, you know, now the coaching side of things with Dom Capers, I can say yes, but that was more special teams than anything. But not knowing where to be on that two-point conversion, you know, and allowing that pass to just get up and over his head, got completely sucked in on the play fake, going over to the right, throwing the ball back to the left. Completely sucked in. You know, they were telling him to look, you know, look for it, and he still missed it. Bostic going up and getting that football. So, Ted, yeah, probably a couple of years too early or a couple of years earlier with the way the communication had begun to break down within the Packers organization between the general manager, the head coach, the president and such. Yeah, you could probably say that they let it go a little bit too long, you know. There was a philosophy there prior to that, but you could probably say they let that go a little bit too long. I'd understand that. But when it comes to, you know, the coaching side of things, I thought that was a masterful game. There was a couple of things. The only thing I can fault Mike McCarthy for is pulling his foot off the gas in that third quarter, and then they put it back down, and they should have won that ball game. It was a lot of mistakes. I mean, if Morgan Burnett picks that pass off and keeps going, chances are they win the game because chances are they score. You know? So I don't know if I can put it all at the foot of coaching. 855-830. I'm not saying that coaching isn't partially to blame. I'm just saying I can't just lay it there and go, well, you know, they'd have won more if it hadn't been for Mike McCarthy. I can't specifically say that because I really believe that when you look at that 2014, 2015, 2016, when you look at those drafts, there's not many players out of that draft that were impactful players. You needed at least a Pro Bowler or really impactful players year in and year out, and you just weren't getting it. You're getting a lot of guys that were there, but they were only there because they were rookies and they were forcing them into the lineup because they really never turned out to be much, even after the Packers cut them loose. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Your top five mistakes that the Green Bay Packers have had over the last 5 years. We'll get into that discussion. Also, Christian Yelich has something to say about the season that gives you a little hope, I guess, is the best way to put it. Also, the bottom of the hour, Dan Dockich from ESPN, college basketball analyst. You're going to hear that conversation coming up as well. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Traeger Grill, the official grill of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. You can pick it up at numerous locations. The Ace Hardware store is specifically in the Milwaukee area at Wauwatosa Ace Hardware, Germantown Ace Hardware, South Milwaukee Ace Hardware. There's Harry's Ace Hardware in Franklin as well. And they offer free setup and delivery, and you can actually buy the thing. And when you just pull up, they'll just put it right in your trunk for you if you want to do that instead. That way there is zero contact. And they're self-distancing just like you are. And if you want to grill out and kind of expand your smoke grilling experience in the homestead, then I highly recommend it. It is a fantastic, fantastic grill. I experiment with the thing probably every other day now. I've been doing it. So, I mean, even like last night I did chicken breasts out there. Even the chicken breasts were awesome. They had that little bit of a maple-y, smoky flavor to them. And God, just put this. There's this barbecue rub that I used, and it didn't take much, just a little bit, and oh, so good. Big salad, and it's pretty healthy actually. By the time it was all said and done, it was really, really good. So that's our friends from Traeger and our friends from Ace, and I highly recommend one if you can get your hands on one. So 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it. When it comes to the Green Bay Packers and some of the mistakes, I got a lot of emails on this, so I want to get into that coming up. Also, Christian Yelich. I don't know if you happen to catch this, but Christian Yelich on WEEI Radio in Boston, they're talking to Boston Baseball, said, hey, look, when the rumor came out about the possibility of Arizona being the central hub of baseball, then he said that may be our only option for baseball this year.
I think there's a lot of challenges to that plan. I don't think that's the one that they for sure, like, this is what we're going with. I could be wrong in that. I probably have to look into it a little bit more, but I think it'd be definitely challenging. Now, maybe that's something that we have to do just because of the time we're in, and if that's our only option to play, then maybe it's our only option to play. But I think there's obviously some hurdles that have to be, crossed before we kind of get farther down that road.
Now, the challenge would be to get all the players together to make sure they're all healthy. All the people that need to be around them, staff and management, are all healthy. To quarantine them together until this pandemic subsides or becomes feasible so we can venture back out to make sure they're healthy. To have the facilities and schedules put together so the teams – because out in Arizona, if you've ever been there for spring training – you can go from Mesa to Surprise or whatever, 45, 50 minutes at the most, you know, depending on traffic. Usually it's bus rides, you know, kind of like back there, like kind of like they would be back in the old, minor league days because you're not flying all over the place. But there would be some challenges, but because of the enormity of the mass amount of ballparks, including Chase Field, including Grand Canyon University, including some of these other ballparks, these stadiums that are out there, these utilized facilities, they certainly would get their money's worth, but they're a lot of them just like big league ballparks. Talking Stick is beautiful. Camelback is beautiful. The one that they just built for the Cubs is magnificent. Surprise, Arizona is a really cool ballpark. Diablo Stadium's been around a long time. That's where the Angels work out. That's a beautiful place. Where they built that place, I mentioned Camelback, but out in Goodyear, Arizona, where the Reds and the Indians, where they have their facility. That's fantastic as well. So they could possibly get all of this done and be able to schedule enough games, including Chase Stadium out there and then the Grand Canyon University Stadium. They could probably get the scheduling to get it all done. Now, just all the logistics around it have to be taken into consideration as well. In the meantime, he said, look, if there's a time to try something new for Major League Baseball, this is a great opportunity to do it.
If ever going to be a year or a time to try new things and get creative, it's this year. It's obviously going to be, regardless of if we play or not. Like, if we do end up playing, it's going to be a year regardless of when we start. It's just the reality of it. So why not try things and see if they work, see if they don't, see if it generates interest, see if people like it. I think it can't hurt. And like you said, it's if you're going to do something new, there's no better time than right now.
Yep, and he's right. If you're going to try something, you're going to try to figure something out logistically. So this is something that probably the sports leagues, while they've been working day and night on, they're probably behind the eight ball. I mean, to try to figure out as many games as you possibly can play in the schedule and to where to get them to be played and then the place to house all of Major League Baseball's teams, because remember, all the teams from Florida have to come out there as well. That is part of the challenge, is getting all of these guys to stay quarantined, to stay away from their families, to start playing baseball. That is the challenge, because that's not going to be an easy task by any stretch of the imagination. So as much as I want to see, look, I want to see them. I want to see them be able to play baseball again. During this quarantine for you and I desperately want to see sports, live sports. I mean, I'm sitting here right now watching the Par 3 Challenge with Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus, and they're playing a lot of these classic rounds at the Masters on ESPN and on the Golf Channel and such. And this is, it's been great to watch. It gives me a sense that summer's on its way. But I also sit here in the back of my mind, I know these have already been played. There's no drama to all of this other than seeing the excitement of what did happen. You know, hole in ones and such. I probably, like a lot of you, I just can't wait for games to get going again. And not even just because of what it is we do for a living, for the talk show aspect of this, but just as a sports fan, just to be able to see this start to be played again, I think is just fantastic. So I'm excited about it. I'm hoping that baseball can work something out. But I think between now and the end of this month, I think is where most of the work is going to be accomplished, because if indeed, okay, now today, remember, if indeed, today they had announced that some of the ventilators and the beds and such being used in New York, they're getting more and more people that are getting well, and they're getting out of the hospital, and the people that are leaving versus the people that are coming in is beginning to outnumber. It's a better number now. You're not getting the influx of people coming into the hospital, and the people that are now leaving, beds are beginning to open up, and some of those people that were living in hallways are now finding rooms. But by no means are they still are they out of the woods as far as being inundated with patients and such. But the influx of new patients is beginning to ease as far as the people that are becoming well and being released and able to now go home. So in that, before, it was just the opposite. It was the number of people coming in was far outnumbering the people that were leaving. And so hopefully now we see that curve start to head in the opposite direction. So we're not out of the woods, but over the next 2 to 3 weeks, if after 3 weeks, after, you know, by the time, what was it? I don't even know if it was to what, the 27th or the 24th or 29th or something like that. I can't remember the exact day. But basically, you know, if you start today, you have 3 weeks from today would be the 29th of April. So if this eases by that period of time, and then suddenly you're allowed to kind of go back out but not really congregate with more than 10 people and all that kind of stuff, then I would assume Major League Baseball will start to press forward, along with the NBA. They'll start to press forward with some of those modified schedules to see if, you know, if indeed the curve is starting to head in the opposite direction now and the ascension of cases is now on the descension, then I would assume that they'll start making plans to play baseball, and maybe, just maybe, the worst is over and we can very, very slowly and cautiously start to return to a little bit of a sense of normalcy, and they'll start playing some sports again. So we'll see what happens. Hey, coming up after the bottom of the hour here, great conversation with Dan Dockage. I love talking to Dan. He's a guy that speaks his mind. You hear him down in Indianapolis on their stations down there. He's a longtime college basketball analyst for ESPN, but he's a lot of fun to talk to. And he has some things to say to those who doubted him along the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And you're going to want to stay tuned for that. If you're one of them that were ripping Dan Dockich the last time we had him on, you may want to get his Twitter handle and now apologize. And you're going to hear that conversation. That is coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We're on the air. We're glad you are here, and thanks so much. I'm doing the show from home. Radio Joe Zenzola, Evan Heffelfinger in the studios. Everybody's social distancing in different rooms, so hopefully you're doing the same. Hopefully you and yours are healthy, and we'll all reconvene outward very, very soon. Very, very soon. Dan Dockich has a terrific program down in Indianapolis, what I've always called like Championship City, because Indianapolis is just made for supporting championships down there, the way they just put that town together. Just love that city. Had Dan on a little while ago. Had a chance to chat with him a little bit. And we started out, because the college basketball season, as we all know, came to a very abrupt end. And there's been a lot of talk. Now, it's not going to happen. The NCAA has finally made their decision on this, but there was a lot of talk, and I wanted to get his opinions on this, but there was a lot of talk about possibly giving some of the seniors another year of eligibility. That's where we start.
Yeah, that's a really, really tough one because, you know, do you only do seniors? Do you not do juniors? I think, you know, in spring sports, I think it's a no-brainer. I do. And basketball, it's a little bit tougher. I mean, you know, you only have 68 teams that make the tournament. You got 340-some that would have completed their season. I guess you can include the NIT. I would be good with it, but I think it's a hard sell. I really do. I just think that so many folks feel like, you know, in the NCAA, hey, look, you know, the season basically other than the tournament got played out. But I wouldn't mind seeing it. You know, I'm all for anything that makes college basketball better, and I think keeping guys around longer helps. But I don't know if I necessarily see that happening.
No, I completely agree with you. I know that Bob Huggins had talked about anybody that doesn't get drafted into the NBA that was a senior that wanted to come back. He felt like they should have opened the season instead of doing the holiday tournaments and those overseas tournaments or out-of-state tournaments, that they should have just played the version of the NCAA tournament. I know logistically it would be kind of a nightmare, but that'd be kind of fun to see, wouldn't it?
I'm for anything, man. I talked to the guys at the TBT, the basketball tournament in the summer. I said, hey, see if we can get the NCAA to pass a rule that says the TBT, you know, if it's going to happen. Who knows if it's going to happen. Can use regular college teams and let's play it that way at different sites, which is what they do anyway. Bill, I'm for anything, man. I was texting with John Calipari today about a variety of different things. He believes, and this is before all this happened, he believes that college basketball needs to be involved in August and playing games. You know, people look at that and they laugh, but the truth of the matter is, Bill, softball plays games in the fall, and then their season starts really in the spring, and the NCAA tournament is in the spring. Volleyball does it the opposite way. Volleyball's tournament, or excuse me, regular season is in the spring or fall, but they play games in the spring. So there would be, there's precedent for it. Cal is an interesting guy, and we were going back and forth a little bit this morning on just that, because right now college basketball runs the risk, for a lot of reasons, of being overrun by the NBA, if it isn't already overran. And obviously not having a tournament this year adds to that. But I'm for it, Bill. You could say, hey, man, bring every NCAA team to my house. I got a court in the front yard, and we'll play it as a three-on-three tournament to determine the NCAA champ, and I'd be for that, man. I'm for anything anybody wants to do right now.
Talking with Dan Dockett, ESPN college basketball analyst. So as we sit here, earlier basketball that would push into the college football season, do you think that would ever happen, considering they're both, depending on the college, they're monetary sports that really drive revenue? So you would figure that more of a good thing is a good thing, correct?
Well, yeah, here's the deal. Here's what I don't know if this is going to happen, because if I'm going to be totally frank with you, I have no idea who to believe when I read the newspaper or when I get online and try to figure out what's going to happen here. But I think one of the things that's interesting moving forward is, what is going to happen? Let's say that sports comes back, right? And let's say that, we're in for a hell of a fall, right? I mean, we're in for – I'm going to go through it league by league. To me, let's just say sports come back, Major League Baseball – is the most purest, history-driven league, and they got to lose that. They got to say, hey, look, if we can have a 20-game season into the playoffs and into the World Series, that's perfect. A 30-game, I don't care. Let's do that. Basketball, I have a hard time believing that basketball, NBA basketball, can play a playoff season into the finals unless, they do it quarantined a little bit like what the baseball model is, unless they get it going pretty soon. Because if not, you're talking about what? You're talking about playoffs in September. Regular mm-hmm. season starts when? Now you're screwing up 2 years. I have a hard – football to me, people lost their mind on Kirk Herbstreit when he said, hey, look, I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know. I don't pretend to be a scientist. But I think that football is in real danger – because let's be honest, you got to start football and you have these Saturdays, unless you just want to say, look, we're going to start the season later, if in fact they have to do that, and we're going to play games on different days. But with football, both college and the pros, you got to have recovery for players, man. You can't. Like basketball, you could play a doubleheader today, the doubleheader tomorrow, and guys would be tired, but they're not going to risk dying. In football, you got to have, you got to space games out. So I don't know that basketball, I don't know that any of these sports is in jeopardy of not happening. I don't know that any of these sports can possibly play. I don't know, but I do know with football, man, you got to have time in between games. Golf, you could start tomorrow. You could say, all right, it's Wednesday, a week from today, we're having a PGA Tour, pro-am, and then we're going to have a, four-round tournament starting. And everybody be out there playing basketball. They have a six-day training camp anyway. But football, man, football's tougher than that. The recovery period is such that you're going to need games spread out. And I just hope that we're back in business by the time it all starts, because I don't know how you pack that one in.
Couple minutes left with Dan Dockage from ESPN college basketball analyst. Yeah, I was watching that press conference Mike Gundy had down at Oklahoma State, and just basically saying, well, we, call him the herd of people, the herd of healthy people, meaning his athletes. Oh. And what Kirk Herbstreit was saying was, until you get a handle on the spread of this, it's not just about the young athletes who probably are pretty healthy, who probably could handle this, but it's about where they then take it, because how do you then invite college campuses to open back up or to have athletes come in and the possibility of infection? And then when other student athletes or students come back to campus, then that campus is infected. I get what he's saying. That's why I thought it was so terrible that Kirk and Herbie took so much grief over all of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Herbie just said what a lot of people are wondering. Like, hey, is this going to happen? I mean, don't think this is, at least according to whatever you read, this isn't like, hey, we're going to be done with this in 10 minutes. Gundy's thing, here's what I say about that, okay? And you may disagree with this, people may disagree with this, but football coaches get so much money and so much power in their own little worlds that they think they can say anything, right? I mean, I watched it with Coach Knight, man. I used to tell Coach Knight all the time, hey, I call him Boss. Hey, Boss, you know, your AD's got an ego too, man. You know, your president's got an ego. I watched Coach Knight get in his throne, man, his world where you think you're smarter than everybody. And that's what I thought with Gundy. I'm like, man, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Just shut up when it comes. Like, when you get into what you want to happen, hey, we all want sports back, right? We all want, you know, we're all going to watch the NFL draft coming up because it's the only thing going. But when you get into the science that we can bring these players back and basically use them as guinea pigs, you're an idiot. I mean, you just are. I get, look, Kirby saying, hey, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, we may not have. I could see a time when we don't have football. Well, I think, okay, fine, that's your opinion. But when you bring science into it and we can herd players and they're 21, 22, they can handle it, it's just so stupid. But I'm telling you, in my lifetime of being around college athletics, it's a little window into the soul of how smart, big, you know, quote-unquote big-time football and basketball coaches think, how smart mm-hmm. they think they are. And I wasn't surprised. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't surprised some football coach wasn't dumb enough to say all that because of what I just said. Man, it's a little yep. window into how these guys think in their little kingdoms.
Dan, it's always a pleasure. I love having you on. Stay safe. Enjoy the family.
By the way, hey, Bill.
Yeah. Hey,
I caught hell on your show for saying that our guy Greg Gard was going to be coach of the year. I'm accepting formal apologies from the Bill Michaels Nation out there because he didn't do that. Hey, next thing I know, Gard was the coach of the year. So all of you Wisconsin fans that for whatever the reason were hating on Gard and hating on me, at Dan Dockage is my Twitter. I'm accepting formal apologies.
There you go. Dan Dockage from ESPN, also his radio show down there in Indianapolis. You can follow him on Twitter as well. He's always a good follow, too, because, again, that guy just kind of speaks his mind. So we enjoyed him on the program a little bit earlier today, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been going to get done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. I had mentioned earlier today about continuing. I try to get this in at least once a show, just to continue to support local. This weekend, Thursday, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, the last days, that Stenny's at 2nd and National and Walker's Point, that they're going to be open until this safe-at-home order lifts. So this is the last weekend for Stenny's. Wings tomorrow night, fish fry on Friday, and a little bit larger menu on Saturday. But get out there and support them. Our friends at the Social House on West Lisbon Road in Menominee Falls, some terrific food. They've been open a little bit more. Our friends at Euros West, I'm trying to give them as much love as possible as well. There's a lot of great restaurants and a lot of local out there, some services out there. Our friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right, go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. I'm getting my floor done next week, and I'll take pictures before and after of it as well. But just keep supporting those local businesses, man. Keep pounding that pavement for the locals and do what you can to try to keep as many people employed. And if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. That's okay. Look, you're one of those many right now that are probably out there struggling a bit. But hopefully, if you can afford it, you'll do your part just like I'm trying to do. I'm doing the best I can as well. So let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up on the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show, we continue on. So glad you are with us, and thanks for listening to us. The odds are out. Our good friends over there at betonline.ag, our buddy Jimmy Shapiro just sent me some odds for the NFL season. The odds for the Defensive Player of the Year, it goes Aaron Donald, Nick Bosa, J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt. Aaron Donald 7-1, Nick Bosa 9-1, 11-1 is both TJ and JJ Watt. Khalil Mack at 12-1. Then you start to go down there a little bit, and sure enough, there's Za'Darius Smith comes in at 40-1 to win the Defensive Player of the Year. Meanwhile, the most passing yards, third on the list, Drew Brees number one, Patrick Mahomes number two, Aaron Rodgers third on the list at number three, followed by Matt Ryan. And then Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, and on down from there. But Aaron Rodgers, number three at 8-1. Most receiving yards on the season, Michael Thomas leads the list at 6-1, followed by Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr. At 12-1. Then you go right after that is Devontae Adams at 14-1 on the season. The most rushing yards on the season, Derrick Henry, hands down, followed by Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook at 10-1, tied with Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley. You keep going, you go, you look down the list, and by the time it all gets down there, 25-1 is Aaron Jones, 25-1 Aaron Jones on that list. So that's some of the odds, the early odds coming out regarding the NFL season. So. But Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones, both listed. Za'Darius Smith, good to see him listed. Devontae Adams, you figure, would be on that list as well. But just some of the odds that are coming out early on for the football season. And hopefully we have a football season, depending on who you talk to, you know. I mean, we just talked to Dan Dockich, and you just heard that conversation. And, you know, it's a question as to whether or not you're actually going to get a football season, you know, much less a full basketball, baseball season, whatever it happens to be, then college hoops around the corner. So I don't know. I just kind of hang in there and just keep hoping and praying that we get through this. Hey, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk a little bit more about Tom Brady's conversation. All the audio will be out by then, his conversation with Howard Stern. Also, we're going to talk more NFL draft. Austin Gale of Pro Football Focus is going to join us tomorrow. We're going to catch up with play-by-play broadcaster Ian Eagle is going to be here tomorrow. I'm looking forward to Bruce Levine. Bruce Levine of The Score down in Chicago, longtime writer down there as well in Chicago, covers the National League Central, covers the Cubs, covers the White Sox. We're going to talk with Bruce tomorrow. We're going to talk some baseball with Bruce coming up tomorrow on the program. Just a couple of things, a couple of emails I wanted to get to before we get out of here. This one is from Steve. Steve says, the biggest regrets for the Green Bay Packers over the last 5 years, I would say, is keeping Ted Thompson a little bit too long. The Packers' strategy has always been you would rather get rid of the players a little too early rather than keeping them too long. His draft history in the last few years was pathetic at best, and I truly believe that cost the Packers a chance at a Super Bowl win more than anything else. That is, stay safe. And our buddy Steve, listening to us out in Richfield. Paul writes in the Wendy's email inbox, great topic today with Dan Dockich. I loved hearing Paul Molitor's replay interview. That was superb. Thanks for providing great content and for still being here through these hard times. We're all just trying to get by, and I know some people get pissed off, and Twitter and social media has become the 140 character, although now they've upped it, the 140 character world to be an antagonist, but we just try to keep our chins up, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll all be better for it. Keep doing what you do. That is from Paul. Paul, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hey, by the way, our buddy Phil from the Bobblehead Museum here, which is in our own backyard here in Wisconsin. It's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Phil Sklar from the Bobblehead Museum says that he is thrilled to announce they have received or reached $100,000 in donations to support the 100 million mask challenge through the sale of Dr. Fauci bobbleheads. Dr. Fauci bobbleheads. Now, Dr. Fauci, for those that know, he is the doctor that we see with President Trump all the time talking about the coronavirus. And he's the guy that also is getting blamed for a lot of this, for this panic, if you will. And he's the guy that's proclaimed, you know, we should keep social distancing for quite some time until this thing is not necessarily eradicated, but well within hand. But because Dr. Fauci has become so popular, people were requesting, believe it or not, bobbleheads of Dr. Fauci. And in less than a week since launching the bobbleheads to honor Dr. Fauci, they received orders from all 50 states and over a dozen countries, And last night, Dr. Fauci's bobblehead became the best-selling bobblehead of all time, surpassing only Sister Jean. Remember her from the 2018 NCAA tournament? Sister Jean. That's amazing. So the top two bobbleheads are Sister Jean and Dr. Fauci. Two people, had it not been for certain circumstances, you never would have heard of. That's amazing. But congratulations to the Bobblehead Museum, located right here in our own backyard, because they did a great thing. And they're coming up with the 100 million mask challenge and donating dollars to it. So that's absolutely awesome. So kudos to them. That is fantastic. And something great happening here in our own backyard. And I'm glad to make that announcement. Glad to be a part of that. So anyway, time for us to go. We're going to be back at it again tomorrow. Hang in there. Until then, stay safe. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Whoop.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.